Hey, tailgaters! Ross of the Pigskin Tales Podcast here. Feel that summer heat? It's not just the sun, it's the thrill of upcoming college football season, stoking the coals. So get ready for the season. Dive into the history books with Homefield, the premium collegiate apparel brand from Indianapolis. Homefield crafts incredibly comfortable gear designed with iconic vintage nods over 150 colleges. A library of history right on your chest. Homefield is the Indiana Jones of collegiate apparel, uncovering hidden gems from school archives. Unique mascots, logos, and even unforgettable moments frozen in time. Visit homefieldapparel.com and shop the archives. Homefield Apparel, where comfort, nostalgia, and the spirit of college football history unite. Again, that's homefieldapparel.com.
Head coach Pop Warner once said, practice right and you will react right. And that's what happened for a few of our guests, as we have the first Michigan and Notre Dame players ever to win the Heisman Trophy, a record Turkey Day game for the Lions, and more Iron Bowl and Grey Cup classics, all coming up on your football history headlines in just a moment. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're broadcasting from the Pig Pen in Western Pennsylvania, bringing you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So, with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines. Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and you have joined the football history headlines for November 27th on this podcast. We have a couple special show notes for today, as we are going to have the great Oz Davis of Truly the Goat podcast here on the Sports History Network join us for a special presentation on one of the CFL Grey Cup games. And also on our website, PigskinDispatch.com, you'll be able to see a special football history headlines with guest writer Chris Lawton, the CFL editor. For 99 Yards, the great website on a lot of different football, NFL, college football, and the CFL. So those are some great things to check out in both the website page for the football history headlines and this very podcast. Well, speaking of the podcast, let's get right at it. As we start off with November 27th, 1940, Tom Harmon becomes the first Michigan player to ever win the Heisman Trophy Award. The running back of the Wolverines was the sixth player ever to win the trophy, named in the honor of legendary coach John Heisman. November 27, 1943, at U.S. Marine Boot Camp in Parris Island, South Carolina, Angelo Bertelli is handed a telegram in boot camp on Parris Island, informing him that he had just won the Heisman Trophy for 1943. Bertelli had just completed playing football as a quarterback for Notre Dame. He was the first Notre Dame player to win the coveted award, per the Irish Legends webpage. Our next three history headlines come from the CFL's Grey Cup, and as I told you earlier, today for the November 27th special on PigskinDispatch.com, we have a special article from Chris Lawton of 99yards.com that will go into these games in much more detail, but here's the headlines on them. November 27th, 1943, at Varsity Stadium in Toronto, in the CFL Grey Cup game, the Hamilton Flying Wildcats defeated the Winnipeg RCAF Bombers 23-14. November 27, 1948, also at Varsity Stadium in Toronto. During this CFL Grey Cup contest, the Calgary Stampeders won their first championship as they knocked off the Ottawa Rough Riders 12-7. Then, November 27, 1954, also Varsity Stadium, Toronto, popular place, the Edmonton Eskimos won their first of three straight championships in the 42nd Grey Cup game as they squeaked by the Montreal Alouettes 26-25. Remember, catch all that detailed action on our website, PigskinDispatch.com. Article by guest blogger Chris Lawton of 99yards.com. November 27, 1954, in Birmingham, Alabama, the 19th Iron Bowl, it was those Auburn Tigers who came out on top over the Crimson Tide of Alabama, 28-0. November 27, 1956, the 1957 NFL Draft took place on this day, and it was Notre Dame's Paul Hornung who was the first draft pick by those Green Bay Packers. November 27, 1960, new AFL teams in the heat of battle as the Buffalo Bills tied the Denver Broncos at 38. The Democrat and Chronicle fills us in on all the details that the Bills found a way to blow a 31-point third-quarter lead and were fortunate to hold on for a 38-38 tie when the defense stopped the Broncos' last drive and Denver settled for Gene Mingo's 19-yard tying field goal with 4 seconds remaining. Bills coach Buster Ramsey was quoted as saying, "For the first 3 quarters, I watched the greatest display of defensive football I've seen in the league this year. Every man had almost perfection execution on every play. Then for reasons I cannot put a finger on, the whole thing collapsed. And boy did it ever, but at least they got the tie." This next football history headline, you're going to get 2 for your money, as we already know that Chris Lawton's writing about it on our website, pigskindispatch.com, for this Grey Cup game. But we get one and only Oz Davis from the Truly the Goat podcast, found here on Sports History Network. Make sure you check out his show. He's going to talk in his own way about this game, which is one of his favorites.
On this day in 1965, the Grey Cup Championship game proved the old adage that football is the only sport played in all types of weather, sunny, rainy, snowy, or Canadian. The 53rd Canadian Football Championship game would come to be known as the Wind Bowl, with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers and Hamilton Tiger Cats facing off in Toronto's CNE Stadium amidst winds of up to 40 miles per hour. The conditions were extreme enough that a rule change was made for just this one game. Punt returns were disallowed due to the uselessness of punting into a wall of wind. The Blue Bombers won the game 22-16, despite surrendering a record 3 safeties to the Tiger Cats defense. Coaching for the Blue Bombers was the legendary Bud Grant, and his reasoning for giving up the safeties was based on a loophole in the Canadian game, which stated that a team taking a safety kept possession of the ball rather than punt. Based on what happened in the Wind Bowl, that rule was changed for the 1966 CFL season. The entire game is available on YouTube, and it's well worth a watch. I'm Oz Davis, and this is my shameless plug. Check out Truly the Goats, the sports podcast spanning the history of humanity, right here on the Sports History Network.
Again, we thank you for that special presentation, Oz, and make sure you check Oz Davis on his podcast, Truly the Goat, found here on Sports History Network, and with all our other podcasters, too, of some great sports history podcasts, including a lot of football content. Again, sportshistorynetwork.com. November 27, 1965. The 1966 NFL draft was held on this day, and the number one pick was Tommy Nobis of the University of Texas, who was picked by the Atlanta Falcons. The franchise had come into existence on June 30th earlier in the same year, per ESPN.com. November 27, 1965, at Birmingham, Alabama. Alabama outplays Auburn 30-3 in the 30th annual Iron Bowl. November 27, 1966, at DC Stadium in Washington, D.C., the highest scoring NFL game with the teams combining for 113 points was played. The Washington Redskins outraced the New York Giants in a track meet game of 72-41, per a Washington Post story on the event. The Washington club scored 10 touchdowns in the contest and picked off 5 Giants passes to help the team get over the 70-point threshold. Now, how about a couple Iron Bowl classics? November 27, 1971, in Birmingham, the 36th Iron Bowl was somewhat of a one-sided affair as the Tide washed out the Tigers 31-7. Then 5 years later, November 27, 1976, also in Birmingham, Alabama dominated Auburn 38-7 in the 41st edition of the Iron Bowl game. Let's sneak in another Grey Cup game that's also covered by Chris Lawton on our website today. November 27, 1977, Olympic Stadium in Montreal. The Montreal Alouettes beat the Edmonton Eskimos 41-6. A Grey Cup record crowd of 68,318 attended the game, referred to as the Ice Bowl. Dan Sweet records 23 points for Edmonton in the victory. On November 27, 1982, at Legion Field in Birmingham, Alabama, we had the Bow Over the Top game, which was the 47th Iron Bowl, was one of maybe the best ones that defines the Auburn-Alabama rivalry. The Bleacher Report put together a nice article on the game that has all the details, but here are the highlights according to their story. The setting before the game is that Alabama had basically owned the series for about 25 seasons with Bear Bryant at the helm of the Tide. The Crimson squad seemed poised to chalk up another W for their season coach as they outgained the Tigers 507 to 257 total yards in Bryant's final Iron Bowl before his untimely passing in the upcoming offseason. The stats don't tell the whole story, though, as unless you look at the young Tigers halfback named Bo Jackson, who racked up 144 yards and a touchdown near the end to seal the 23-22 Auburn victory over their rivals. This was Auburn's first win in the Iron Bowl in 10 years. Bo knows how to break streaks. November 27, 1985 at South Bend, Indiana, the University of Notre Dame named Lou Holtz as their 25th coach per the IrishLegends.com webpage. Holtz had a great run as the head man of the Irish from 1986 through the 1996 season as he led them to a 132-2 record as he coached more ND football games than anyone in history. His win total was only second to the great Newt Rockne. Under his guidance, the Golden Domers played in 9 New Year's Day bowl games and finished in the top 6 in the AP rankings 5 times and went undefeated and claimed the national championship. Plus, he earned Coach of the Year by multiple sources in this season of 1988. November 27, 1983, the CFL Grey Cup at BC Place in Vancouver. The Toronto Argonauts defeated the BC Lions 18-70. It was the Argos' first Grey Cup victory in 31 years. November 27, 1987 at Legion Field in Birmingham. In their annual SEC matchup, it was the Auburn Tigers who blanked the Crimson Tide of Alabama 10-0 in the 52nd Iron Bowl. 1 year later, November 27, 1988, the CFL Grey Cup game at Lansdowne Park in Ottawa took place as the Winnipeg Blue Bombers edged the BC Lions 22-21 in the first Grey Cup game won by a team with only a 500 season. November 27, 1994, at BC Place in Vancouver, the CFL Grey Cup, the BC Lions beat Baltimore FC 26-23, the first ever championship in pro football history featuring a U.S. versus Canada matchup. The Lions win it on a last-second Louis Passaglia field goal. November 27, 1997, the Silverdome in Detroit, Michigan. After falling behind 17-3, the Detroit Lions scored a Motor City Thanksgiving Day record 55 points against the Bears, according to the undefeated.com website. The Lions really roared into life in the second half when they erupted for 38 points to help the team to win 55-20 victory over their opponents from the Windy City. The Lions' Barry Sanders on the day rushed 19 times for 167 yards and 3 scores as he forgot about the turkey and feasted on the Bears' defense on a national day of thanks. Now, I'd like to just take a moment to remind you that our website is pigskindispatch.com, where you can find all kinds of football history and a lot of the writings here from our special guests like Chris Lawton and yours truly, who writes about the football history and the positive people of football on a daily basis. And I'd also like you to email us and give us some opinions of what you think about the show, or just to say hi at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. And you can also check out all the great podcasts on the Sports History Network.com, where there's all kinds of different things for sports history fans to enjoy. Now I want to direct you all to the great indoor football activity that will allow your youngsters to exercise their imaginations without playing a video game. Tudor Games and their product of electric football is a beautiful way to engage in the entertainment of your favorite NFL teams with a physical hold-in-your-hands action figures that you can set up formations, direct their paths, and just get past your opponent to vibrate the miniature players to pay dirt. The items are all an NFL collector's dream, and these pint-sized replicas of your favorite players are hand-painted works of art. Check them out or buy your favorite affordable set today at TudorGames.com. And to get them for that perfect Christmas gift or Hanukkah gift for the NFL lover in your life, you can get that link at pigskindispatch.com in today's article for November 27th. So make sure you check them out. And like I say, they have a great product. I used them a lot when I was a kid, really enjoyed them. And I'm sure your kids, even in this day and age, will too. And it gets them away from that video TV screen. November 27th, 2005, at BC Place in Vancouver, the CFL Grey Cup. as the Edmonton Eskimos beat the Montreal Alouettes 38-35, the first time in 44 years that the Grey Cup had an overtime session. November 27, 2009, at Jordan-Hare Stadium in Auburn, Alabama, the version number 74 of the Iron Bowl kept fans on the edge of their seats, according to ESPN.com. The second-ranked Tide took the lead with 1:24 left in the contest and thwarted a late Tigers charge to escape with a 26-21 come-from-behind victory. November 27, 2011, at BC Place in Vancouver, the CFL Grey Cup had the BC Lions beating the Winnipeg Blue Bombers 34-23 for their sixth championship. 5 years later, November 27, 2016, at BMO Field in Toronto, the Grey Cup took place as the Ottawa Redblacks upset the heavily favored Calgary Stampeders 39-33 in overtime to win a championship in just their third season of existence. All right, how about we talk about some Hall of Fame birthdays for this November 27th? And we'll start off in the year 1889 in Fairdale, Pennsylvania. Dexter Very, the prolific Penn State University end, was born. During the 1912 season, according to footballfoundation.com, Dexter scored 9 touchdowns in 8 games as he carried an average of 13-plus yards on every run around the end. The National Football Foundation selected Dexter Very to enter into their College Football Hall of Fame in the year 1976. November 27, 1960, Ken O'Brien, the quarterback who played for both UC Davis and Sacramento State, was born. After the 1982 season, he was voted as the Division II All-American at his position per the NFF and ranked number 2 in total offense and number 3 in passing efficiency in D2. Ken's 23 touchdown passes in just 10 games and his 6-11 completion rate led his Cal Davis team to a perfect 10-0 record until they lost in the National Division II final to Southwest Texas. The NFF Board of Voters inducted Ken O'Brien into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1997. Ken had a brilliant 11-year NFL career with the Jets and the Eagles. November 27, 1963, in Shamokin, Pennsylvania, Frank Sheptock, the linebacker from Bloomsburg, came into this life. Sheptock was a 3-time All-American with the Bloomsburg Huskies of the Pennsylvania State Athletic Conference. Frank Sheptock was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 2007. November 27, 1971, Larry Allen began his football college career at Butte Junior College in Oroville, California, before transferring to Sonoma State, a Division II school near San Francisco, according to the ProFootballHOF.com website bio on him. His stock rose high enough that the Dallas Cowboys in the 1994 NFL draft picked Larry with their second-round pick, number 46 overall of the draft. Larry had the versatility that was proven as he played every position on the Cowboys line in his 12th season with the team, except for the position of center. Larry played 14 seasons overall in the NFL, as he spent a couple in San Francisco, and in that span, he played in 11 Pro Bowls, had 7 straight All-Pro seasons, and the Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrined Larry Allen in their great museum in the year 2013. I hope you enjoyed this special edition of the Football History Headlines for November 27th, and don't be afraid to join us tomorrow for November 28th, as we talk about the first pro player to score 6 TDs in a game, as well as more Heisman Awards, Grey Cups, and the Iron Bowl played on November 28th. Football History Headlines. So make sure you subscribe. Don't forget, join us at pigskindispatch.com to catch the embed player there, or you can catch it also on the sportshistorynetwork.com along with other great sports history podcasts. Remember, special thanks to Chris Lawton on our blog, guest writer on our pigskindispatch.com website, and for Oz Davis for his special presentation in our podcast today. Thanks to both of them and our musical people, the Monroe Brothers, and Jason Neff for the great work that they've done. And we'll see you tomorrow, folks. Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Each week, the official Football Learning Academy podcast will take you deep into the history of pro football through interviews with players, coaches, or administrators in the NFL, as well as interviews with Pro Football Hall of Fame selectors, authors, and historians. You'll learn how the game evolved and important moments that shaped the sport into what it is today. And don't miss the Pro Football History Nugget of the Week. Listen to the official Football Learning Academy podcast on the Sports History Network.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcast. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcast. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.